Mode.
Hi, everybody. This is Michael, and I want to welcome you to our pre-full moon, Aquarius pre-full moon meditation. Aquarius is such an important sign for the present moment and the coming age of Aquarius, which begins from one of the writings of the Tibetan in the year 2117, which is the same year that Venus again crosses the face of the sun in one of those rare conjunctions. And then, you know, maybe in a few hundred years, he says that we cannot, you know, yet determine by our own mathematical science when this will occur, but there will be the beginning of the approximately 25,000 year age of Aquarius, a great Platonic cycle in which we'll go through all the signs, but it will largely be under the influence of Aquarius. So we have a lot of this magnificent energy to deal with in the next 25,000 years, and I don't know where we plan to be during all of this. Maybe some will have left the cosmic physical plane to be working on other destinations, you know, but let's just say that great things are in store. All we have to get through is some of the difficulties that are involved in the ending of the Piscean age and the sixth ray age. And that will be pretty well completed by the end of this century. So the coast should be relatively, you know, clear for a while once we get through this. But of course, that won't be easy either. Let's just do our best with it. Here is the banner for the Aquarius sign. Water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty men. Thirsty human beings, you know, it's Manus, it's not man-men, it's Manus, the kingdom of nature that is ruled by Manus, and that's who we are, at first anyway. And we have the violet-colored Uranus here, which is the orthodox ruler, but also a very high ruler, maybe the highest ruler in Aquarius, and I'll explain why in just a second. Then the esoteric ruler, Jupiter, giving the group soul, and finally the moon, which is a veiled, the veiling planet, and it's not really a planet either. In a way, it is a physicalization of the previous third chain in our Earth scheme. You know, what is veiling? It just means to shut out the energy. And the moon shuts out the energy of Vulcan, physical body, Neptune, emotional body, and again Uranus, the occult mind, the mental body. And when the lunar vehicles are properly trained and offer no impediment, then the veil lifts and the energies of Vulcan, Neptune, and Uranus can reach us again. So ultimately, Uranus is the highest of the rulers in Aquarius. Interesting, the color turquoise. This is, I don't know, on my computer, it's not exactly a wonderful turquoise. But ultimately, we look at Uranus and we see it's a rather turquoise planet, a mixture of the blue and the green. And there's lots of third ray in Uranus and seventh ray and ultimately a first ray monad. Well, over here, excuse me, over here we have the Joffre illustration of the water carrier. There are two ways to carry a pot of water, apparently, according to the Tibetan. One is on your shoulder, or roughly the way this individual is doing, and it's said to be very difficult. And the other is balanced on your head under the law of service, the third law of the soul, which eventually the true Aquarian achieves. We notice there's a flow to this whole image. And the waters are the waters of life. They're really very subtle energies. They are electrical energies of a subtle nature. And they are not water per se, although water is matter, you know, according to the Tibetan. And we have these waters of life stimulating all things, and in a universal manner, because Aquarius is the sign of universality. And notice our skull here that kind of represents Capricorn and the jaws of death. Capricorn does represent death, but it also represents a kind of will to immortality. It's the first ray, a kind of will, the will that conquers death. But until that happens, we have to step through the jaws of death on this long road to the shining city on the hill. You can kind of see an image of utopia through the jaws of the skull there. And Aquarius is a sign of high idealism and of the future possibilities. So many of the future possibilities are expressed in this sign, and so tremendous progress can be made if the right kind of energies are circulated. The issue, of course, is are they the right kind of energies? Because you can get all kinds of circulation, which are, you know, like epidemics and things of that nature. It spreads all over humanity, the circulatory system, so let's make sure that on the plane of thought, we really circulate the right energies. I've seen many Aquarian people who kind of look like this up here. I know it seems unlikely, but there is a certain eccentricity and a deviation in this sign, a deviation from the norm, a certain kind of genius that can go with this sign, and you become, you know, what do they call it in that play about Sir Thomas More, the man for all seasons? Very, very synthetic and encompassing and very inclusive of so many ways. So this is a sign in which you can take your final incarnation, second initiation, third initiation, even fourth initiation, final fifth initiation in Aquarius. And many people do that. And some few go through the more painful process of being world saviors and take that initiation in Pisces. It has a lot to do with the etheric body, and hence the seven lotuses are represented here, and these are the chakras of the human energy system, and probably somehow Aquarius feeds all the planets, because so many of them, they're all considered to be chakras in relation to the solar logos. So, you know, there are, those are a few of the things that can be said about this magnificent circulation of energy. And I would just say that during this time of Aquarius, probably a lot of group consciousness can be stimulated. I've often seen there's a lot of exchange of email and communications, and people get the sense, for better or for worse, of the group. So take advantage of it and work towards what I would call universalization. We always grasp a more inclusive, bigger picture and the interrelations of that picture. It's a real unity in diversity and diversity in unity, and the sense of the group being one, I think, is very strong in Aquarius. So I'm kind of looking forward to it, you know, before Pisces hits. One of the things I'm trying to do is distribute commentaries on the Tibetans' books. Now, you know, when I do that, I do it in humility because well, who can second-guess the Tibetan? He's an amazing teacher. But what I try to do with these video commentaries is offer links for study groups and individual students to connect up the different aspects of the Tibetan's teaching. So now, let's see, 21 or 22 programs are now done on white magic, and Brett is getting them up on Makara. You know, www.makara.us. And also, you know, we're having, it's coming up soon, we're having quite a presence on YouTube under Moria Federation, and we have something like 1,800 or 1,900 different programs up there of video natures over the last 10 years with conferences and, well, all kinds of things, you know, that are on Makara and some that are not. and musical offerings and other things. So you might want to take a quick look at Moria on Moria Federation on YouTube and see what we have there for you. There's a lot to learn, and we're offering many, many things that will take years and years to study, and some wonderful speakers that we've had over the years, and conferences here and there, and all of our pre-conference workshops have been videoed, and many different subjects to study. So, that's very Aquarian. What I'm trying to offer right now is this big, inclusive possibility for the group. So try to take a look at that. Also, the full moon is coming up very soon. It's my tomorrow. I don't know what it is for you, but at 1:26 and 38 seconds p.m. after noon, GMT, 1:26:38. And let's see. Now, we'll be starting our Tuya is offering the usual exact full moon service meditation, with images and music and so forth. And that will be start at 12 noon tomorrow, GMT, Universal Time, Greenwich Time. So if you're not doing other things with your own full moon groups and so forth, please do join us, and let's meditate together. I also want to thank those of you who joined me last night, my last night, where we had the presentation of the Aquarius solar fire ritual and all the meditation that went with that. So thanks for being there. And now, let's take a look a little bit at what Francis has said about these things. Let's see if I can do that. This is the ultimate water carrier. So let's see what that ultimate water carrier... I'm always erasing things. Oh, goodness. I've done it. I thought I had that. And yet, maybe I don't. The vase from the top. Uh-huh. Well, I seem to have somehow I have erased that, and I really didn't mean to do that. It's a beautiful image of the water carrier, and I have to go looking for it if I'm going to find it, and that might be a bit of a hassle. But let's see, maybe I can do that very, very quickly, possibly. Francis Donald's Aquarian text. And sorry for the, little delay here. Webinar images, and this is the Aquarius water bearer image. So let's see if I can get that. Ah, there it is. Beautiful. It looks so much like Kuan Yin to me. But this is the benevolence of this great lord of a constellation, or it looks like a female figure in this case, giving life more abundant. And that's what we find with this image. Very beautiful. And let's see what it says. Depicted here is the great Aquarian archetype, the ultimate water carrier. Everyone alive today is touched by her hand. For the vessel in quotes, that she carries is now well within the influence of this great sign. Conveying through Shambhala, and for all of us, life more abundant over the next 2,160 years, beginning in 2117, and then going on further to, 25,000 years. It is a soul-awakening influence. Quote from the Tibetan, the water carrier, another name for the world server, let's remember that. It's a great sign of service. Water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty humanity, found in every land and in every great city. The work on all the different rays, they all work on the different rays, they express many points of view. Their field of service is widely differing. They all carry the pitcher containing the water of life, and they all admit the light in some degree throughout their environment. To you who live and work in this interim period and in this cycle of transition, he was speaking to his disciples, right? With all its resultant outer chaos and upheaval, very Uranian, right, is given the task of expressing steadfastness, service, and sacrifice. This is from the Destiny of the Nations, written, pretty well after World War II. So there are some different energies that are involved here. Jupiter is the esoteric ruler. The sun used to be called the Eye of Jupiter. Interesting. And in every solar system, there is one planet that is most like the central star. We might say that in our solar system, Venus is most like Sirius, and we might say that Jupiter is most like Sol, our central, or Helios, if you want to call our solar logos that. Jupiter and our sun are very closely related, and Jupiter really was almost a star, almost reached that ignition point. Here is a little something on the heart of the sun. This meditation will result in the realization of the true significance of light and the revelation of the meaning of what has been called in esoteric books the heart of the sun, which is the inner point of life in all manifested forms. It's also, in a way, the soul nature of the solar logos found on the cosmic higher mental plane. This is a very mental sign, Aquarius. It carries a lot of the fifth ray, and the illumination of the mind will be seen to be direct and infallible. I mean, there's so many things here that are just beautiful. I hope you have a chance to really go through the Aquarius chapter in these next couple of days and read all about it. Aquarius, it will, through the effect of its potent force, stimulate, now this is interesting, the astral bodies of men into a new coherency, into a brotherhood of humanity. Now that's especially during the last part of the Aquarian age ruled by Venus, right? The last 720 years in the smaller age of Aquarius. So it will bring about the brotherhood of humanity. The Christ force will be very strong by that time, which will ignore all racial and national differences and will carry the life of men forward into synthesis and unity. This means a tide of unifying life of such power that one cannot now envision it. Just imagine, just imagine this universalizing, unifying power of Aquarius really coming into its full measure when Venus is the decanate ruler in the last part of Aquarius. A unifying power. Okay. In 1,000 years, it will have welded all mankind into a perfect brotherhood. That's magnificent. And, no, that's about right. First comes the age of Saturn. He promises us much difficulty in this age of Saturn. Then, the first 720 years. Then comes the aspect of Mercury, which is really the magician's age, and it will be maybe Manus will reach its highest point of relative perfection in this cycle. And then finally, the age of brotherly love is coming. And we, who try to work with the Tibetan and the masters, this brotherly love, in spite of all the emotional stuff that gets thrown up, we have to really learn how to express that. The emotional effect of Aquarius will be to purify the astral body. Remember the labors of Hercules and how Hercules was faced with the dung of three cycles. There was all of this refuse from the physical, emotional, and mental states of the personality. And instead of just sort of shoveling it out, he turned these two great rivers upon it, and it swept away all of that refuse and cleaned out. So it's a great medical age here. It's a great age of purification. And combined with the seventh ray, it's going to be amazing for producing vital, vibrant bodies that can get a lot done. Okay, purify the astral body of men so that the material world ceases to hold such a potent lure, and we overcome materialism, and may, in its later stages, bring about a state of exaggeration as potent in the line of sentiency as that which we have undergone in materiality. So we will be extremely sensitive in the astral body. So we're grateful to Francis for having pulled these references together and offered his own ideas, many of them. And let's see, ho ho ho, what have I done? As always, now this is a beautiful image. It sort of represents group consciousness, you might say, and the master is there, surrounded by the inner circles of disciples and the different grades of disciples all around. It's like the sun and the solar system in a certain respect, and what is said about it from the heart of the master. In Aquarius, the man awakens to the beauty of group life, to group interest, and to his individual responsibility towards the group, and thus begins to live his life and to spend himself in the service of humanity. It, you know, it's a great sign of service, and it correlates so well with the law of service, the third law of the soul, and we all know that our method forward is meditation, study, and service. It's a triangle, and a vital triangle. Imagine a group of people sitting around a central figure. Their various facial expressions, physical types, age, and clothing each give us insight into their personalities. Now, that's not the picture we're looking at. That's an outer picture. Now imagine that we can lift our vision from the denser subplanes and visualize the etheric realm. The scene shifts dramatically. The physical vehicles of our group grow dark, for here the light comes from a different source, glowing energetic matrices, vibrant with the color and quality of the group, overlay these dense forms. With our inner eye now opened, we see a master sitting at the center of his group of disciples. We see this, male and female. Those on the outer periphery are only faintly aware of his presence. You know, there are different circles to the ashram, right? But the initiates who sit in the circle immediately around the master know him well, for they have worked for many incarnations to attune to his aura. This alignment known as being close to the master's heart. You know, these are the six stages of discipleship. You know them. Little chelaship, chela in the light, accepted discipleship, chela on the thread, chela in the aura, chela in the heart, in the master's heart, and finally the seventh stage, which only occurs for masters, really, those becoming masters, the blending of the light. Okay, so they have worked to attune themselves to his aura, and may we do so too as we advance in the ashram slowly. This alignment close to the master's heart enables these initiates to consciously direct the energy of love wisdom that flows through their master from the master of masters, the Christ. So no matter what your ray may be, the hierarchy itself is ruled by the great second ray, and it's love wisdom that we have to demonstrate because we have the second ray soul in our love wisdom planet and the second ray soul for our solar system. Now, there's more to it. And I just suggest that, you know, Francis has written extensively on this, and you're probably aware now that he has had a cycle on sacred geometry, which is a wonderful series, and you can gather that on the Moria Federation website. And then this cycle he's beginning now on the secret doctrine, and that's a great and ambitious project, and he's done several of these every month. So please do join him for the secret doctrine and his very interesting study drawing other Blavatsky related material together. It's fascinating. Here is an ascension of heart centers leading to who knows what. Finally, the disciples' heart center, then the heart and the head, then the egoic lotus, which is 12-fold. The master is the monad at the center of his group, and the monad is 12-fold. The Christ, identified with Pisces, the 12th sign, the heart center of hierarchy. We leave hierarchy, we go towards Shambhala, the life of the monad, and then the Lord of Life himself, and he's the heart center of Shambhala. He represents the soul, that is Sanat Kumara, the soul of the planetary logos, and on we go, to the heart center of our solar logos and on to cosmic logo and on and on and on. So it really keeps going. The line of relationship then extends from these onward and upward and upward, spherically considered, to the life at the very center of our Earth's alter ego, the planet Venus, which is ultimately a second ray monad. Second ray and sixth ray, but ultimately second ray. Thence to Jupiter and to the solar Lord himself and on to Sirius, which is a great cosmic Christ when considered monadically, although his soul is on the fifth ray. At least that's my estimation. You know, sometimes all you can do is speculate and wait for further knowledge to confirm or deny your reasoned and maybe in speculations and your apparently intuitive impressions. All right, friends, that probably, there's some beautiful stuff here, but that's going to be enough for the moment. And we will begin our meditation. You know, go there. Francis has other images connected with Aquarius, and so I'll, you know, what I'll do here is go to the meditation itself. I know I'm speaking quickly, probably used to that by now, and for the meditation I will speak much more slowly. All right. So we're approaching, we're really in the day of safeguarding. The days of preparation have passed, wherein we experience confidence, physically, aspiration, emotionally, dedication, mentally. Now we're in the days of receiving and holding, you know, roughly 12 hours before the full moon. It's a little more than that, so we're at the end of the day of dedication, but 12 hours before the full moon, we start the safeguarding. And, you know, Master DK said to his group that he would be on the lookout when groups and other individuals would be approaching the hierarchy during this time. He would take note, and I suspect he would strengthen and support their efforts. All right. By the way, I do want to welcome, you know, all, goodness, a lot of you here, but some 69 or 70 of you, I'm glad you're here, and our staff is supporting your efforts. I would name you all, but then, you know, let's just get into the group and let's just do it. So, we begin by withdrawing our consciousness from the usual personality anchor. We are the soul in incarnation, but we don't need to identify as the etheric physical or the emotional or the lower mental vehicle. So we stand back, you know, it's the Pratyahara stage in the Yoga Sutras, fifth stage, pulling back. And the old Raja Yoga formula, I have the body, but I am not the body. I have the sentiency, the emotions, but I am not them. I have the lower mental vehicle, but I am not that. And we begin to discover ourselves more and more in the field of the higher mind, the field of light and love and spiritual power. And our environment becomes the egoic lotus, the causal body. And we imagine that. Of course, we're not that either, but it's the next higher environment. And it is as if we are all, you know, within this, the lotus field, and it's as if all of us are more authentically the egoic lotus, and the many egoic lotuses together forming an egoic lotus of the group. It's as if we are that, really, rather than the personality. So we're merging ourselves into a deep sense of the group soul. We're scattered geographically, but due to the wonders of the fifth and third ray here, we are connected. And inwardly, we are definitely connected. And in one field of consciousness, because actually we're one being, you know, And that has to be proven. Self-proven. So we're going to, as if, unite with in the soul with all the spiritually minded people of the world and with the men and women of goodwill. Like brighter lights amongst the many dimmer lights, and here and there a still brighter light shines forth as the members of the new group of world servers are found working for their fellow human beings and for the planet in general. And we realize that in the state of soul, we are unified with these other souls. Ultimately, there is, we know, only one soul in all the cosmos. And we go further, than the my soul and thy soul. Sometimes we talk that way when we talk about the development of the causal body and so forth. But beyond that, there is no my soul and thy soul. We learn that in, Rule 5 of the rays and initiations, and ultimately in the old mantra, naught is but me, the great identity, not just the individualized identity, something much bigger and more inclusive, and that's the me. Naught is but me. And we have to learn so to expand our ring pass knot and become inclusive that the usual boundaries of the usual little self, the usual little me, are dissolved. And we can be the greater being, we can be the group, we can be the larger aggregations, nations, humanity, kingdoms, we can be finally the one. Naught is but me. The Antikarana extends, we're in process of building it, right? From the mental unit to the monastic permanent atom at first. We imagine, that there is already some rapport between the astral body and the intuitive vehicle, and that the astral body can be shaped by the truth of the love wisdom of the Buddhic vehicle. We imagine that toward the mental unit, we draw the etheric physical energy. And also this modified astral energy into the area surrounding the mental unit. It's, at the top of the concrete mind, you might say. Draw that energy upward. And from the nine petals of the egoic lotus and the three inner petals, we imagine that we draw down soul energy into the mental unit, contributing to our soul infusion from the knowledge, love, and sacrifice petals, and also from the synthesis petals, and even from the powerful jewel in the lotus, which is sort of the will center of it all. It represents the monad in extension. all around the area of the mental unit, and it builds up in strength so that we can project. We can visualize the seven-colored rainbow bridge extending toward the monastic permanent atom and even beyond, although we cannot really reach those higher permanent atoms yet because they are in areas that have to do with those whose development is beyond the stage of master. And moving towards the monad too, we can imagine at least that extension. And of the seven colors, two will stand out most, the color of your soul ray, color of your personality ray, the colors are here. But we're really going to use the indigo color for the group, because this is not an individual meditation, this is a group meditation. So just imagine that of all the colors in this rainbow bridge, indigo is the strongest, being the color of hierarchy, of the Christ, of the soul, of the planet, of the soul, of the solar system. It's the major ray for us. And this occult technique will have us use a word of power. We're going to use, I see the greatest light. It's a second ray word of power. So we will project a vivid electric white light along the colored bridge until it imaginatively reaches the triadal points and even the monad, imaginatively. When we're Chohans, we can talk about really working on that level. So outwardly we'll sound the Om, and inwardly we'll be repeating to ourselves in this projective state, I see the greatest light. All do this together, outward sounding the Om, and inwardly three times, I see the greatest light. What really happens is that the father aspect comes forth to meet the rising projection, and a great realization occurs where they meet. And they're always going to meet closer and closer to the father's home, which is the monadic area. But this little exercise, which I trust many of you are using in some form or another as you build the Antikarana, can be very useful in bringing the impact of the spiritual triad and even occasionally the monad into our soul-infused personality consciousness. So for this meditation, we should have some access to the abstract mind, the pure reason, and even the spiritual will, galvanizing us into plan-related activity, and the occasional beingness of the monad. We have to come to terms with that idea of being. The Tibetan told us he's an initiate into the mysteries of being, This should tell us something, he said. One day we will be that also. Now, the masters are focused. Actually, in the spiritual triad, it's sort of their personality area because they know themselves to be the monad, and being fifth initiates and beyond, they're in touch with the monad, and the Chohans really know it because they're in the monadic vehicle and the triad is their personality. So we're going to think about the high level at which they live and offer our solidarity with them and our commitment to help work with the divine plan. Now, you know, we're working with Master DK at this point. He has a training ashram with many different ray types, and you may belong one day to another master, but Master DK is taking a lot of disciples in for preliminary training, which we all need. So we bring gratitude into our heart. Without the solar angels, we'd be like cavemen at this time. And without the hierarchy, far, far back in our development. So we offer our gratitude to the Christ, the Master of all Masters. Salutations to the Christ. Teacher alike of angels and of men, the great Lord and leader of the hierarchy. Then we think of the triangle of masters with whom we work most closely, the Master Moria, Master Kutumi, Master DK. We offer our salutations to them. Salutations to the Master Moria, the head of all esoteric schools and organizations. Salutations to the Master Kuthumi. DK tells us he will be the Christ of the coming age of Capricorn. And now his ashram does the most to prepare for the reappearance of the Christ. Second Ray Ashram, Second Ray Chohan. Salutations to the Master Jwal Kul. He gave us the blue books. He's the sanctioned messenger of the hierarchy. He teaches with the approval of Sanat Kumara and the Christ and of his master, Master KH. He worked with Blavatsky, worked with Bailey. He'll work again in another 7 years or so, we're told, in this way. Whoever his amanuensis may be, we don't know. And he trains people for initiation, first, second, and even the third degree. So this triangle of masters we work very closely with, regardless of who our final master may be, depending upon our soul ray at first and maybe after the third degree or thereabouts, our monadic ray will determine who our master may be. We salute our own master as we conceive him to be, whether he's one of these we've mentioned or another. Salutations to our own master, as we conceive him to be or know him to be. And finally, salutations to the entire spiritual hierarchy of our planet. This is that august body which works with the souls of human beings and works particularly upon the mental plane and upon higher mental levels. But the energy really comes from a still higher source. We call it the center where the will of God is known, the Shambhala. And we cannot enter Shambhala. Even many masters cannot enter Shambhala at will, unless perhaps they're on the first ray. We cannot. But we can come on rapport with it, and with the deepest reverence and in all humility, and as a group, identified as a group soul, we try to attune with the presence of Sanat Kumara, the highest example of the teaching ray on our planet, the head of all the esoteric schools in the final sense. He is the great one who leads the fundamental school of occultism in Shambhala. And as we attempt to attune with this great presence, who is an emanation of the planetary logos, we inwardly sound the long, silent Om, as he in Shambhala sounds that Om, we are told. Maybe, you know, in doing that, and as a group, we can come to have a little flicker of realization of what the planetary purpose is. Even the masters don't know it fully, and they don't know but the first syllable of his name. Maybe the Chohans know two, probably a sevenfold name. These are great mysteries. But our task is to approach the indigo sphere, of the love wisdom ray and to ascend in our consciousness towards the energies available now and find a way to receive and distribute these energies over the next few days. The masters work on a monthly cycle, you know, it starts from the new moon to the full moon and then from the full moon to the new moon. And there are 7-day, 5-day, and 3-day cycles that we can use with respect to the full moon. So we're as if we are a point. We are all gathered together at a center of focus, like a point of tension, containing light and love and spiritual sacrificial will, which leads to power. We're a point of light together, and we hover, as it were, above a golden pathway. And the pathway leads into the indigo disk, the indigo sun. So we're all together. And slowly the golden pathway shortens and shortens and shortens, and we go with it. Until it disappears and we as a point disappear into the heart of the indigo sphere. We imagine ourselves surrounded by the indigo, the love wisdom color. And there, imaginatively at least, we meet the consciousness of Master DK, whose great knowledge of the astrological factors, ray factors, hierarchical factors, the creative hierarchies will support us as we imaginatively encounter the great sources of energy available now. We imagine that we are like outposts of the Master's consciousness. And the group as a whole, you know, is an outpost of some aspect of the Master's consciousness. Not the entirety, of course, but it's as if he pervades our consciousness the way the solar angel, angel of the presence, pervades the extended consciousness of the monad found within the egoic lotus. So we're going to move towards the rulers of Aquarius, Uranus, the exoteric ruler, which at first conveys the capacity to reinvent and renovate the energy patterns through which humanity and individuals express themselves. We will be approaching Jupiter, the esoteric ruler, conveying the power to achieve spiritual growth and fulfillment together through loving cooperation. We'll be approaching what the moon veils. It veils, as the hierarchical ruler, it veils Vulcan, Neptune, and Uranus, associated with the physical, emotional, and mental vehicles, Vulcan, the etheric physical body, a strong and fit instrument for soul expression. Neptune, suffusing the emotional body with the Buddhic principle, which it sorely needs. You know, once the glamour is cleared away, we have a big job there. Uranus, transforming the mind, as ordinarily used, into occult mind. These are the energies ambient now. They actually are more impressive at this time, perhaps than at other times, and in a certain way representing the Lord of the constellation Aquarius, as every constellation does have its Lord. So all of this is really going on. It's all here. Just as if there were 12 people sitting in a room, they could all be in communion with each other. Well, that room is our solar system. And every part of the room experiences the presence of those people and of those great ray lords or planetary logoi. So it's all here. And here is only one place. Here is here. So we're going to ponder on the power of Uranus. It's really an amazing planet, bowing very low towards the sun, below the ecliptic, actually. Its head is bowing. Its pole is bowing towards the sun. It's the home of electric fire. It has alchemical power through its seventh-ray soul to transmute, transform, and transfigure, and finally, translate, leading to the reordering of the lower worlds according to the archetypal pattern in the heavens. Uranus can do all those things. And change our lives drastically. According to an archetype which we may not have sensed. So we open up our group consciousness to the energy of Uranus. We can visualize the glyph, you know, in the violet color. Of course, there's probably a deeper color connected with the monad, the first ray monad of Uranus. We open up to the Uranian impression. We need that. Our groups need that, so they're not just conformist groups, simply repeating what they've learned, but actually apply using their own unique abilities, higher energies to the re-archetypalization of the lower worlds. So let's visualize flowing that Uranian energy. We can use the color violet, perhaps, at this time, flowing into the group. This color is so associated with the etheric plane and with the whole cosmic etheric plane. And we'll use a Uranian note. We'll use the note B, the leading tone of the scale of C. The vibrant power of Uranus flowing into our groups, electrifying us, making us vital. Not crazy, but vital and courageous enough to change things. So that the lower worlds really will reflect the pattern in the heavens. That's our goal. Now, we visualize the largest of all planets. It's Jupiter, so close in nature to the sun, and we know it for its second ray, the soul on the second ray, but what shall we say? Perhaps its monad is on the seventh ray. Who knows, ultimately on the first ray. Maybe. These are speculative matters with no way to absolutely confirm, ascertain, but we know that it's a ceremonial planet and it has a lot of seventh ray. But here, you know, under its soul aspect, which is what we can kind of contact now, it bestows the fullness of group consciousness and a group love emerging within the causal body, which it enlarges. It's unfolding the group causal body. It's building and completing the realization of group soul. It's one of the ways that second-ray influence does pour through Aquarius, or from Aquarius. Uranus, then Jupiter, giving the life more abundant. Christ came as Jupiter, in a way, wanting for us the life more abundant, the gift giver, and the ruler of the source of supply and of compensation, fulfilling us, connected with Leo and the will to fulfillment. So together we are more. We are more together. And we imagine that this beautiful Jupiterian influence flows into our group and our groups. Expanding our consciousness, expanding our identification, expanding our capacities, so let's use a second ray note, tuning in with the soul of Jupiter, and watch that sort of royal blue purple energy flow into our groups, imbuing us with these great expansive and joyful qualities. You know, when we're locked in, we're not joyful. When we can express our abilities widely, the joy comes. Second ray Jupiter into our groups, let's imagine. Really the builder of group consciousness along with Aquarius. And our groups need this, don't they? So we don't have, you know, selfish, isolated, limited in consciousness groups, but inclusive, cooperative, expansive group life. And finally, it's the moon, veiling Vulcan, Neptune, and Uranus, leading, finally, you know, as the moon signifies in Aquarius, to the transfiguration of the personality. Vulcan, the radiance of the etheric physical atoms, Neptune, transcendent love in the astral body, Uranus, cult brilliance and penetration in the mind, the mental body. And of course, somehow connected with the higher ethers as well. It's not really the moon, It's the three lords that are veiled by the moon. Vulcan so strong, Neptune so sensitive, Uranus so electrically brilliant. So let us see the strengthening of the etheric physical, the sensitization of the astral body, the rendering occult, spiritually occult, of the mind. And we'll sound three notes. Well, what should they be? A D for Vulcan, an A flat for Neptune, and a B for Uranus, in that order, on the Om, and we will, as if watch these influences, strengthen, sensitize, and render intuitively, occultly brilliant the mind. Here we go. Falcon. No. Neptune. Uranus. Result will be eventually the transfigured personality under these three influences. Moon in Aquarius representing the transfigured personality of the initiate. And so we have encountered imaginatively these three and more: Uranus, Jupiter, Vulcan, Neptune, and again Uranus. But here we are, actually, our monads are at home within the sun. Our monad stands for that which finds its home within the sun, is the glorious solar logos, whose body is the sun, at least the etheric physical. And we imagine the love, the power of this great solar logos sweeping through the entire solar system. And that we are solar creatures ultimately. It's going to be one of our stops along the way of going towards our true goal. The great logos of love, our God is a consuming fire, the consuming fire of love, wisdom. And when you look at the sun, remember who that sun represents. The sun is important in Aquarius. It may be in detriment, as it is sometimes said, but there's more to it. All the great solar rays are distributed with the help of the Aquarian energy in the universal understanding of the whole. So let us affirm the great love wisdom sweeping through the solar system and into our monad soul and personality, and ultimately, you know, anchoring in the heart, maybe engaging the solar plexus, but then back to the heart. The solar logos, really a heart opener, and all the series of hearts that we have, heart in the head, egoic lotus, monad, all hearts in a way. We sound on the second ray notes of our solar logos, the note G. So the logos is one, and all the planets and beings within the solar system are one in that logos, in the indigo ray. But then we have to leave the solar system and journey towards Aquarius, the constellation of life more abundant, the light that shines on Earth across the sea. We see how the physical plane and the astral planes are taken in, and we find ourselves eventually in the higher ethers, the cosmic ethers, if we follow Aquarius. This is the light, says the Tibetan, which ever shines within the dark, and cleansing with its healing rays that which must be purified until the dark has gone. So it comes from above, and it returns to the above, and a great healing force, cleansing force, during the Aquarian Age is released on Earth, and a new joy and vitality will take over for humanity. And maybe we can begin to experience that a little during this Aquarian time, the joy, the vitality of this light that shines on Earth across the sea. So we open ourselves to the feel of the Aquarian energy and all the rays associated with it, you know, and all the planets. Particularly the fifth ray is there. It's a very inventive scientific ray for Aquarius, but there are other constellational rays as well. And who is to say exactly what they are? Seventh ray is a good possibility, and during this age of Aquarius and on a different cycle, the seventh ray is present for 2,500 years, roughly. But maybe the seventh ray is also part of Aquarius, and certainly the planets are there giving the seventh and the second and the first and the sixth rays via the planetary rulers. All these energies available and waiting to be built into our system. So let us think of the constellation and ponder together for a few moments of silence, as we will do tomorrow during the actual service meditation, full moon, exact moment broadcast. Let us ponder the mantra. Water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty men, for thirsty human beings, for thirsty humanity. Water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty men. Every one of us is that. Once our head center really opens up, the thousand petal lotus and is radiatory throughout our system and our environment. We are the water of electric life poured forth for our thirsty brothers and sisters. And we will keep our working with that mantra going forward. We probably have another 14 something hours plus before we begin with the Aquarius full moon service broadcast. We have some time. Some will sleep. You can dream on these things. Water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty men. For those who are in the realm of Manas, that's the human being, and are looking towards the realm of love, because one day the rays of humanity will no longer be 4 and 5, but will be 2 and 4, we are told. So love wisdom will characterize us. But meanwhile, our fifth ray will certainly absorb what Aquarius can give, and hopefully we will use it very wisely, because, you know, it can get ahead of us, and we might use it badly, and that would not be, well, that would be destructive. So, you know, we start with the one about whom naught may be said, a great cosmic logos, super cosmic logos, really. Take a look here. Up in this very high cosmic plane, we have a green triangle. And that's probably the source of, that's probably our local one about whom naught may be said. From very high levels, very high levels. It's not the greatest being in our local sphere, but it's great. So from that high level of the supercosmic logos known as the unknown, we think about the zodiac. The zodiac is the heart and the head center of our one about whom naught may be said. It's an analogy. And Aquarius is there. And Aquarius is pouring forth particularly its fifth ray. And its fifth ray would, in a way, normally go towards Sirius, whose soul is the fifth ray, but Sirius is so often a blind for the little bear, which can be considered the Ajna center of the one about whom naught may be said. And from that Ajna center, thence to Sirius, that is in our local cosmic logos, where our solar logos is a heart. So the energy pours through. And the life more abundantly of Aquarius, you know, you begin to think that the second ray is somehow connected with Aquarius, or life more abundant. And into Sirius, into our sun, our solar logos, both of whom are part of that cosmic logos that is so enveloping of us, and onward towards Uranus, towards Jupiter, towards Vulcan, towards Neptune, and onward to our little Earth, the energies pouring into Shambhala, and into the monad which we are, into the soul which we are, into the crown center, into the Ajna center of each and every one of us. The life abundant pours. Great downflow from our supercosmic logos, in whom, what are we? Just little, like little atoms. But Aquarius is what we need, you know? Think of the problems of humanity now. Think of the places of conflict. Think of the abuses. Think of the places where that widened point of view and the sense of abundant life could make such a difference. People are fighting over what's called limited supply, but abundant life is here with just knocking at the door with nuclear fusion. Abundant energy for all. Nothing to fight over in that sense, except the lower ego. So select, then, an area of trouble on the earth, according to your inclination. You know, there's a lot going on in North and South Korea. There's a lot going on in the Middle East. There's a lot going on with the government in the United States and with the strengthening of dictatorships all over the world. There's a lot going on. So select an area. And imagine the energy of Aquarius flowing into it. Water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty men. and something good happening, which helps to resolve the problem. It's the soul of the nation so often that will help. The United States has an Aquarian soul. What if Aquarian energy really took over? Russia has an Aquarian soul. What if Aquarian energy really took over? Abraham Lincoln was a racial avatar. His sun sign was Aquarius. FDR was a great disciple. His sun sign was Aquarius. Lower Leo is not meant to rule anything in this universalistic age into which we are entering. And let us sound a note, let's use the second ray note, as we imagining, let us say, that the constellation Aquarius, which is in a second ray Sirian lineup, has something to do with the second ray as well as the fifth. Watch it flow in. And so things will improve under Uranus, under Aquarius. Things will get better, and we will, you know, fight our way into the era of peace. When it is said that Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, meaning the lower personality, and not the host of solar angels sometimes associated with that name. They will be liberated. And Aquarius is a great constellation associated. Cygnus, the swan, the Hamsa, the bird out of time and space, the liberated human being. Liberation will come. And the lords of liberation will be unleashed as they were at the end of World War II, and liberation will continue its progress with the human race and with the planet. So friends, thank you for being here. Let's close with the great invocation, and then with three ohms, and remembering that tomorrow at 12 o'clock GMT, Tuya will be presenting the service meditation on Aquarius. You can use the link you've been sent, or you can simply use a comprehensive link and you'll be receiving it. And that link here is in the chat box if you want to copy that and take it out. All right, friends, the great invocation, here we go. From the point of light within the mind of God, Let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you, everyone. And those of you who don't have your, you know, your own duties at Full Moon Meditations, please join us 12 o'clock and the actual full moon at 1:26:38 GMT Universal Time. We'll be beginning here in Finland at 2 o'clock. So thank you. And let's hold in mind, water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty men, thirsty humanity, thirsty brothers and sisters, the thirsty human race. Water of life am I. Okay, lots of love from Tuya and myself, and from all the members of the Moria Federation and the USR. And we will be seeing you before long. All the best, and bye for now.